Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I'm coming to you from actually rather beautiful Paris. It's first day of spring, and it was a glorious, glorious late morning, early afternoon. It's clouded over, of course, because that's what Europe does. Anybody who thinks that that Europe is this marvelous, idyllic place is sadly mistaken. The weather here sucks compared to the weather in many parts of the United States. One more reason why American exceptionalism is cannot be debated. Anyway,
Although who
I've
was
got
it?
I've got JJ Sefton, my partner and confidant and good friend, and what else are you? Oh yeah, a fellow Yid here. We're
And
gonna.
your personal envoy of good taste
Oh
or something.
yeah. So we're gonna do what we usually do, which is chat about current events. Last time we tried to do it a little bit quicker. Sort of rapid fire and switch topics every 5 or 6 minutes, just because it I think it keeps it interesting. And it seemed to work. And you folks were pleased with it. So I think we're going to give that another shot. And if it bores the shit out of you, then tell us in the comments and we'll do something else. Anyway, Sefton, what have you got?
First of all, in the spirit of France, I love Paris in the springtime. I don't know who wrote that, but I guess in your view, he should be shot. Maybe that was Gershwin or Cole Porter. Anyway, joyeux le premier jour de printemps, my friends. Happy first day of spring. Hopefully, it's nicer weather where you are. Anyway, we have lots going on. Obviously, a couple of the big stories that we're going to cover. I guess we could kick it off with Trump's. I guess we have maybe on the verge of ending the this insane war in the Ukraine between Russia and Shecky Zelensky.
I think so. And coincidentally, I just wrote about that on Ace of Spades on my morning rant. I think it's the beginning of the end of this war. The ceasefire that they are discussing and have conditionally agreed upon is simply to not shoot at, not destroy each other's energy infrastructure, which will go a long way to improving the lot of the typical Ukrainian and the typical Russian who live on the border. That's a good thing. It helps the people who are most injured by these re this ridiculous war. I think, as I said in my essay at Ace of Spades, that I think that the process is going to take a long time, but that the war will probably just sort of sputter and go for a little while, but slowly ease down into nothingness. And maybe that's the goal. Maybe it isn't the goal. I'm not really sure. But anything that stops the shooting is a good thing.
Indeed, whatever one's personal feelings are about Putin or about Zelensky or about the Ukraine or whatever, it's just, yeah, this is not a good thing to be happening. It's unnecessary, and it creates a lot of potential for escalating into a situation that draws other people into it, namely us and others. That is just unwarranted, and innocent people's lives don't need to be put into a meat grinder. It's ridiculous. I mean, Ukraine and Russians have been at each other's throats for hundreds of years, so this is really nothing new. But let's stop it if we can, and if Donald Trump can do it, hey, more power to him. Good. Rock on.
Yeah, I agree. This is where he shines. He as he has said and has written, he loves the art of the deal, and he is dealing. He is negotiating with both the Z-man, the tin pot dictator of Ukraine, and Putin, who is not such a tin pot dictator of Russia. Whether this ends because of Donald Trump, I don't know. I think that the beginning of the end is absolutely because of Donald Trump. And I think the world should thank him. And I think the world should give him a Nobel Prize because I think it's vitally important that we end this, as I said, senseless war. And maybe that'll disappoint the chicken hawks in Congress and elsewhere in the world, primarily the EU. But I don't give a shit. Let's end this war. It's a nonsense war. We are certainly culpable in its beginning, And I think that we should be responsible for at least helping to end it.
Exactly. Whatever the consequences to Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio may be. My good fault. So yes, let's end the bloodshed. And unfortunately, sadly, bloodshed continues in the Middle East. Specifically, it looks as if Israel is ramping up its operations in Gaza, as sadly it must do in order to garner the release of the hostages, or perhaps the remains of the remaining hostages.
Well,
But
it's
this
it.
the missile, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just amazing. You look at the headlines. Israel breaks ceasefire, and ceasefire ends. Israel goes into Gaza. All that kind of crap. But the reality, of course, and every sentient human being realizes this. Any sentient human being who doesn't hate Jews realizes this, and that is that Hamas had ample opportunity over the last months to end it immediately. If they had returned the hostages, the war would be over right now. If they return the hostages today, the war would end today. But that's not their choice. In fact, their choice is to draw this out because of some psychotic, no, I shouldn't say psychotic. It's actually well thought out. Their well thought out plan to keep the Arabs who live in Gaza as shields, and the more of them who die, the better. Israel will be vilified in the world media, and certainly on every leftist campus in the United States. And they will have succeeded for the most part in their publicity campaign to make Israel the bad guy. They've done very, very well. And by the way, they set the stage for this probably 15, 20 years ago, maybe even more than that. Funding from the Arab world into American universities is huge and growing. So, and if you wonder what they're spending their money on, it's exactly that, is to vilify Israel. Anyway.
Which segues nicely into the fact that the Democrat Party is the party of anti-Semitism, period, full stop, exclamation point, underscore. The fact that they are en masse supporting and trying to prevent deportation of this Khalil jackass and some other jackass who are teaching and preaching terrorism on our campuses at Columbia University and elsewhere just speaks volumes. It's unbelievable. And the protests and all of this that are going on and funded, and I believe Doge is also going after the sources of funding and trying to prevent it at the university. And of course, the left is turning into a free speech issue, which is ridiculous at its at its heart. And that gets us to the point of the judges who are resisting, and we're segueing all over the place. So stop me before I segue us off a cliff here.
I was just about to point out
Wondering.
that Robert Spencer, who was on a couple of shows ago, wrote about Khalil. What's his name?
Khalil or
Khalil,
Khalilia or
yeah,
something.
and saying, yeah, damn straight, he should be deported. Anyway, yeah, that's a very good segue. And the question I posed to Sefton before we started this morning is: should Donald Trump simply ignore the federal courts? And as much as I enjoy the rule of law in the United States, I think that we are past that. And I think that some muscle flexing on the part of the administration, and by the way, they're doing it already, so there's nothing clever about what I'm saying, but some muscle flexing on the part of the administration and pushing back hard and fast against these rogue judges is a very, very good idea.
Well,
I loved what they did with those flights to El Salvador. Or yeah, El
yes.
Salvador? Yeah. Oh
Elsie,
yeah, sorry, they're in international airspace. You have no authority here. It's just wonderful. And they should do more of it. And it needs to go to Supreme Court immediately. We need an answer to this question. Can some pissant little sinecure judge in some shithole leftist city tell the president of the United States and the entire administration how to conduct its foreign policy, how to conduct itself? And the answer, of course, is no. The Constitution never, never intended for the judiciary to be in a superior position. But there was something called, go ahead, Sefton,
Well, it's
Marbury
called the
versus
separation,
Madison.
Marbury versus Madison, or as I've
That's your
been
bugaboo.
put, right. It is Marbury Kalikimaga from our Hawaiian judges, Bookham Dano and Tiny Bubbles and Macadamia, or name your Hawaiian judge du jour. But it brings up a very sort of ticklish problem. I part of me says, yes, Donald Trump should absolutely ignore it. And in dismantling the bureaucracy, as he's trying to do with Doge, which is illegitimate in my view anyway, Marbury was a complete bastardization of the law and a power grab by the judiciary, which was never intended. But it raises a particular problem, and which you sort of touched upon just a couple of seconds ago, CBD, in that if Donald Trump disregards the courts, does it or does it not give, I mean, they do it already anyway, the left will just say, well, okay, it's carte blanche for us the next time, God forbid, a Democrat is in office to disregard the courts for any reason whatsoever, legitimate or otherwise. But they do that anyway. So what's the point? And the rule of law relies upon people who have a fealty to the law and who respect the law and respect the Constitution. And this is my bugaboo about originalism versus the quote unquote people who believe in the living and breathing Constitution, which is a cock crock of shit. It is not a living and breathing document. You are there to uphold the letter of the law as it was written in 1789 and then the amendments afterwards. And if you don't do that, you do not deserve to be anywhere within millions of light years of any court, except if you're in manacles and in an orange jumpsuit.
Well,
But
I
it's
think
a,
that we,
you know.
I agree completely, but I think that we have to accept the word of the Supreme Court if and when. I think it has to judge some of these cases, but eventually when they judge some of these cases, we have to accept their holdings. Now, there's something called Congress, and I know they've become irrelevant over the past couple of generations. Because of themselves mostly, but Congress can change much of this. Congress can simply pass a law tomorrow that the Department of Education is hereby canceled, and there wouldn't be an issue. That would be the law of the land. There is no Department of Education, and we can move on to the next department. But Congress, of course, will not do that because they would much, much rather, oh, how do I say this politely? Fuck the American people by not doing their damn jobs. And as I think ultimately it has to go to Congress. But in the short term, yes, we have to accept the word. We have to accept the holdings of the Supreme Court. The question before us now is, should we accept the holdings of these pissant judges? And the answer is no, of course not. If a judge, you know, in the 33rd circuit or however many circuits there are, you know, that covers you know, the east side of St. Louis, wants to conduct foreign policy only in the east side of on the east side of St. Louis, fine, let them. Okay, but not the entire United States. It simply doesn't work that way. There is one court that governs that covers the entire United States, and that's called the Supreme Court. And until they hold, I think that Donald Trump has every right and privilege to tell them to go stick it.
Well, the problem is, as we all know, the Supreme Court, over its many, many years of a very, very dodgy history, have given us rulings from, you know, well, Marbury versus Madison, but you also have, you know, you have Korematsu, you have the Dred Scott decision, you have Wickard versus Filburn, you have Roe versus Wade, and on and on and on and on. And of course, when a decision goes the left's way, they claim the law, the judge has spoken. But of course, when Dobbs and Roe v. Wade gets thrown by the wayside, they scream, you know, politicization. So it's kind of a no-win situation, if you will. But and as far as the Congress goes, well, the left does not want to denude the bureaucracy, because the bureaucracy, when the courts don't rubber stamp their illegal edicts, it's the bureaucracy that issues rules that have the power of law. And of course, the GOP, for the most part, doesn't wants to get along to go along, because they're greedy, they're criminals, or they're fearful for their lives. They don't want to get rid of the bureaucracy because, you know, whatever, for political purposes or whatever. So we're in kind of a weird sort of netherworld of a twilight of the Republic is sort of there. It's not there. It is there. It's teetering on the brink. And Donald Trump is just merely, God bless him, and is trying to sort of kind of correct course in the best way he knows how. And again, it's relying on corrupt individuals and corrupt institutions to uncorrupt themselves is a real Gordian knot.
Well, I think they can, and the way to do that is exactly what Donald Trump is doing, and that is shrinking the government so that there is far less opportunity for corruption. Is there going to be corruption? Abso-fucking-lutely. Government is corrupt by definition, almost. But if we shrink the government down from what is our budget this year? $5.5 trillion. I don't remember the number. It made me
Who
vomit the last
knows?
time I saw it. You know, if you take a trillion here and a trillion there, pretty much you're talking about real money. And if it's
Exactly.
lean, there is less opportunity for graft. Is and that doesn't mean that it's going to be clean. It will never be clean, but it's got to be lean or leaner so
Right. And plus the
that
fact of
graft is
what
much, much easier to see.
And it's a question of what is, and this is always the left's argument, is like, what is the purpose of the federal bureaucracy, really? I mean, they're claiming that the world is too complex and too complicated for Congress to pass laws, governing every aspect of life. Well, for me, it's like, well, if you're trying to govern every aspect of life, you're already violating many of the precepts of our Constitution and of our founding. So, I mean, why do we need a federal Department of Education when we have 50 of them in each state? Ditto every other agency and every other bureaucracy.
Well,
So
in fact,
that's the
we
question.
have state departments of education, but we have local departments of education too. The amount of duplication in the United States is just disgusting. You know, each state has its own EPA with crazy, maniacal rules. It becomes such a fertile ground for graft that I think it's obvious to everybody that something needs to change.
It
So.
is, and there's an article I had this morning up on the top where people are. I mean, it's by overwhelming majorities, people are very much in favor of trimming the size of the government and cutting back the trillions of wastes where and whenever they can. So there is popular support for the DOGE agenda. So, keep going all the way, baby.
I
Cut
agree,
it back to the wall.
but it comes back to the Supreme Court, which is a perfect segue, and that is about our Chief Justice John Roberts, who is such an incredible disappointment. I think he's a cowardly man. I think that he is a pathetic boy. I'm trying to think of a good word. He's an apparatchik. There's nothing grand. There's nothing intellectual. There's nothing philosophical about his holdings. They are based on his sort of parochial and insular impression of what the Supreme Court should be. And what he is creating is exactly the opposite. He is not defending the Supreme Court. He is marginalizing it to a ridiculous extent.
Well,
He go ahead.
I was saying when he rewrote and made the individual mandate of Obamacare kosher with a red pen, when he literally wrote the law in his own chambers to make it legal, right then and there, I mean, literally usurping the power of the legislature, when he should have sent the law back to the legislature to either be dumped or rewritten or whatever. I mean, that's why probably Justice Scalia had a heart attack and an aneurysm when he saw that, because and that's where he is. He's cowardly. He's just, whatever, for whatever reasons. He probably feared for his life, or he feared that he'd be taken off of the cocktail party circuit for doing that, for destroying the signature legislation of our first black president. Oh my God. So that just, to me, about Roberts, that spoke volumes right there.
Or the John Roberts on the what's his name on the Epstein flight list is that John Roberts, and he's being
Exactly.
blackmailed.
Could very
Anyway,
well
the
be.
yeah, so he came out with a statement in response to some comments, I think both by President Trump and by Elon Musk. I'm not sure about that, but some comments about how the judge who tried to stop the flights to El Salvador should be
Boesberg, I
impeached.
think.
Yeah, he in fact does need to be impeached, because it's not that I disagree with his his restraining order or whatever, or his orders. It's that he overreached, that he is trying to control things where he has no power. It is not in the purview of the courts to decide on any of the things that they have been deciding. And that is why he should be impeached. It has nothing to do with the fact that I disagree with his order. And Roberts' comment missed that whole point. Now, is Roberts really that dumb, or is he playing such craven and obvious politics that he just doesn't care? And I think the answer is maybe both. And that scares me that we have a Chief Justice who was so completely and totally unsuited for the job.
Yep. Oh God. If only Clarence Thomas were Chief Justice. Boy, that would have been that. He should have been promoted. But whatever.
Yeah.
That would well,
You know,
it
people that
has to explode.
many people don't realize that the Chief Justice is not just one vote of the nine, that he controls the docket. Not completely, but he controls it to a great extent. And that is the danger of a John Roberts, that he's controlling it based on his desires for his image, for the court's image, and so on. And he isn't controlling it based on the needs of the United States of America and how the Constitution speaks to certain issues. And that will ultimately destroy his legacy if it hasn't already. And I see no relief on the horizon, which is a little sad, but
It
anyway.
is. Well, whatever the left can't Baudelaireize through the courts or can't impose upon us through the bureaucracy or steal via stolen elections, they will impose upon us via Molotov cocktails and baseball bats and fists, if need be, or bullets, as we have seen. They are
Yeah. You know, by the way,
violence is their way.
speaking of that, it was sort of an ancillary comment. You're mentioning some various Supreme Court holdings that were catastrophically wrong, but you missed one. That is Plessy versus Ferguson,
Let's
which
see,
is a real,
exactly.
yeah, which is a real doozy. That was at the end of the 19th century when the Supreme Court said, "Oh no, segregation is fine." Well, you know, people who hold the federal judiciary up to this standard need to remember that they held that segregation is fine. Now, my personal opinion about segregation is that as a private matter, it should be legal. As a public matter, of course, it should not be legal. It's disgusting and vile and anathema to everything that we hold dear. And I think ultimately, contrary to the words of the Constitution, as a private matter, it's fine, you know, but that's a discussion for another day. But don't forget, the United States Supreme Court said it was perfectly okay in public conveyances and public institutions, and that is unbelievable. So don't
You
hold the
know, and
federal judiciary up to me as this paragon of virtue and paragon of correctness, because it ain't.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I still believe that it is still legal to round up Japanese Americans and put them in concentration camps. I don't think that that was ever that was ever repealed. Not that I would do that. I mean, well, maybe with the exception of George Takei, but other than that, you know. I'd round him up and send him to Pete Buttigieg's Uranus. But beyond that, this is the people that they hold up to as you know, don't give these people any ideas. But yeah, the Supreme, it's there were very we're all flawed human beings, nine very flawed human beings, and more flawed at certain points in our history than other times. But dear God, oy.
Yes, oi. So you were, I think I interrupted you. You were
Yeah.
moving toward the current violence that is being directed toward primarily Tesla, but also to the usual conservative commenters and commentators and pretty much anyone on the right. So go ahead. Sorry, I.
Yes, and just b before that, there was even, we can talk about, people in the spotlight, but there was a woman who was protesting. I forget where in what state, maybe it was in Massachusetts, I forgot where, that her daughter was, they were forcing transsexual boys,
Oh my God.
and they had to be allowed to go into the girls' dressing room and the girls' bathrooms. And she was protesting, and I believe somebody threatened her. I forgot, they got in her face, they were screaming at her. Was she threatened with a baseball bat or something? I forgot what it was, but she, I mean, this is just, these people are thugs. They're absolute. Yeah, Trump is Hitler, but meanwhile, here are the stormtroopers. Here are the real brown shirts, my friends. It's this. Yes, a woman who protests her daughter to have boys expose themselves in the girls' bathroom and locker room. Because she protests that, she's evil, and she has to be confronted and threatened with physical violence.
But they're justifying it, and that's what's just unbelievable to me. They're, and it's the usual wishy-washy weasel words. Oh, I don't condone violence, but
But
yeah,
exactly.
but so.
Yeah. And then, of course, as we said, there's a wave of Molotov cocktail attacks on Tesla dealerships, on individual Tesla owners, and so on and so forth. And it's just,
Which,
it's.
by the way, makes me chuckle because I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but my bet is that the vast majority of Tesla owners are on the left.
I believe you. This is, you're probably right.
Yeah. So who are they injuring? They're injuring themselves.
Absolutely. Which, we'll see if. And the irony, of course, is they're using gasoline, which is fossil fuel. Oh my
Yeah.
God. Ay-yi-yi. And but still, I mean, to do the dealership, the guy who runs the deal. I mean, for whoever it is, that run, I mean, this is just. It's the most reprehensible. It's violent. It's just uncontrolled mob political violence and terrorism. It's internal terrorism. I
Yes.
believe Pam Bondi and Kash Patel may very well be investigating this, and I hope they are. And you scratch the surface, and I bet you find George Soros's money or somebody else's money fueling, no pun intended, the Molotov cocktails.
Well, that would be wonderful if they could actually find a link. Then we could toss his ass out and send him to Malaysia where they'll hang him.
Yes, he has a death sentence on him for yes, for screwing up their currency. But him, and just confiscate all his holdings so that his son, his evil progeny, can't continue the evil work that he is doing.
Oh, that'd be
But
nice.
that would be nice. I mean, because and a lot of these lawsuits are being fueled by the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and man, they should be investigated. Or is that a dangerous are we opening up a Pandora's box for them to investigate, the David Horowitz Freedom Center, which of course they are going after,
Well, they're gonna
and
go
of
after him
course,
anyway.
Levin's, pro-constitution law firm, if I forget what it's called, I think there's also Pacifica and so on and so forth. I mean, again, it's like, if you go after him, I mean, do you sort of set the plate for them to do the same thing to us once, God forbid, they gain political power again. But if this is the state of play, then this is the state of play. And if you want a revolution, then you're going to have a revolution. So it's not going to be pretty.
Well, that's again, that's one more reason why the scope and size of government needs to be constrained. No, not constrained, sorry, wrong word, shrunk. A Justice Department that doesn't have the people to wander around looking for cases like that will stick to important stuff. An FBI that doesn't have the people to stand around with their thumbs up their asses and go after 75-year-old grandmothers who are praying outside of an abortion clinic. Maybe they'll go after bank robbers and real bad guys.
And
And
actual, yeah, t terrorists, right? Hello,
yeah, well,
9/11.
let's not go overboard, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, the Southern Poverty Law Center is this most people know what they are, which is a money laundering scheme that also goes after anybody to the right of Mao. They, for whatever reason, my father got on their mailing list, and He was ill for a while, and so I transferred all of his mail to my house. And so years after his death, I get occasionally this a large envelope from the Southern Poverty Law Center with a self-addressed stamped envelope inside to return my donation. Now, I do donate. I take all of the material that they sent me and I rip it up and I put it into the into this prepaid envelope and I send it back to them. And they still haven't figured it out. And it costs them a fair amount of money. They have to pick it up at the post office and pay the postage. So, I'm doing my
Amazing.
part. Folks, you do your part. Do the same thing. Maybe get on their mailing list and just keep sending it back on their dime.
There
Am I
you go.
allowed to suggest that?
Why not?
Yeah.
It's a free country. It's free speech.
Yeah, there you go.
Not for us, but for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so what else is going on?
That is pretty much what I have so far. It's just that Trump's popularity, the economy seems to be on the upswing a bit. We're doing okay. Trump is going full speed ahead. He made an incredible speech, or somebody made an incredible speech, where basically he said we got to drill for every last drop of oil, every last, ounce of natural gas, and every little lump of coal that we can. So God bless him for that. And of course, we have the splashdown of the astronauts that were in space, and that was nice. And the dolphins came out to greet them, not the Miami dolphins, but the dolphins. So we're some good harbingers out there. And of course, Chuck Schumer is being vilified by his own party, and the Democrats seem to be tearing themselves apart because of the continuing resolution debacle. So that's all well and good. And coming up in a couple of weeks, my friends, April 1st, it's a very critical vote that you come out and support Brad Schimmel and not this Joan Crawford leftist, because we must get the majority back on our Wisconsin Supreme Court, because if we don't, it's going to screw up the future elections, and that has ramifications on a national level, because we are a swing state.
Vote early,
So get
vote
out and
often,
vote.
folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think you might have mentioned this in your morning report over at ACE and at Kutchip Newsletter, but Greenpeace got smacked.
Yes.
They were hit with a jury award of $660 million. There was a pipeline company that sued them for defamation, and they won. And it's just marvelous. I think it's just fantastic. You
It
know any
might
more about it? That's
theoretically,
all I
as
know
the
about it.
yeah the what it might well yeah w which what it does is it sort of greases the wheels now, finally, for the it's I think it was part of the XL pipeline that got canceled by Biden, but it might help that pipeline actually start to get constructed or move forward, which would be a glorious and wonderful thing for our 51st state to the north of us, known as Canada. Ha ha. That'll be a great thing. And also, really, if anything, if Greenpeace can be torpedoed and put out of business, I mean, I'm sure there'll be others to take their place, but one more, terrorist organization, so to speak, that can be put out of business would be a wonderful thing. There's no doubt they're going to appeal the decision, but we shall see where that goes. But if it derails them for any length of time, it's always a good thing.
Well, listen, I doubt very much that the appeal will allow a $660 million award, but that doesn't matter. Greenpeace is not that big an organization, and any significant amount of money will damage them completely. It will be a wonderful thing,
Yeah.
and I hope that happens. And
The
this.
irony is, and I forget his name, of the founder of Greenpeace way, way, way back, a number of years ago, actually came out publicly and stated that climate change, global warming, all of it is bullshit. And for him to come out and say that was a pretty amazing thing. And of course, he's been shunned by the usual
Well,
suspects, but
he didn't say it was bullshit. He said that blaming, I think he said that blaming CO2 and man-made
yes, which.
CO2 for the warming is
Yes.
ridiculous.
Yeah, he was. He's. Yeah.
Listen, it's entirely possible that the world is warming, although I think we seem to be in a cooling trend. But again, that really is dependent on the data that you use.
Right. But to
But
claim
the
that
connection,
man's activity.
yeah, the
Yeah.
connection to CO2 is maddening because it simply isn't the case. And this crap about what is it, 98% or 97% of scientists agree. If you look at the data that they use to make that claim, it's total bullshit.
Well, it's 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed to agree
Yeah,
that
of course.
that
Cool.
semen will prevent tooth decay in women.
Yeah. So what else have we
And
got?
that's pretty much all I've got from my end. I think we're spring is here, and hope springs eternal always, my friends. And I don't know what else is out there that's happening.
Well, there's a lot happening, and
Democrats in
it's mostly
disarray,
good.
Gaza, it is mostly good, and we're on the upswing, and keep it going. So
Oh,
hopefully,
yeah. One thing I noticed,
yes.
the administration froze $175 million in funding to the University of Pennsylvania, so they've
Yes.
expanded from Columbia to University of Pennsylvania, which is wonderful, just fantastic.
Yeah, they are going after the anti-Semitism on campuses, hammer and tong, which is, or hammer and sickle,
Well, I think this was because
which is a good thing.
of their trans athlete crap,
Yeah.
but I think it's fine. I think that the entitlement of the academy in the United States is vast, and they're not entitled to my money. Sorry, if you need funds, go talk to your alums. Get them to
Yeah,
fund
there
your
was, by the
bullshit.
way, there was an article I had either today or the other day stating that somebody wanted to go after the and people were cheering it, saying to go after the what is it, the what do they call it, for university,
The endowments.
the endowments. They're worth literally hundreds of billions of
Oh,
dollars,
yeah.
and they're crying poverty with the ending of $150 million things or whatever. And they've got literally billions and billions of
Yeah.
dollars.
No, we
So
talked
just
about it.
shut up.
I think we talked about it on the last podcast.
Maybe we did.
I found some guy who was talking about just simply taxing them. Ta
Yes.
tax the damn endowments.
Absolutely.
Be wonderful.
It would certainly be a glorious thing. Clean up their act.
All right, folks. I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for hitting the tip jar. Thank you very much for commenting. Thank you very much for paying attention to our sometimes rambling blathering. But we enjoy it, and I hope you do too. So thank you very much. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, and to quote one of our great heroes, Rush Limbaugh, mega dittos, my friend. God bless all of you for your support, and we will see you real soon on the next one, right here at the Cut Jib Newsletter Radio Podcasting International Network, around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, folks.